Go ahead, Daniel. Sorry.
Welcome to Wednesday Night Wars. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel Hummer, here with Eric. In a little bit, we're going to have our buddy Brett call on, and that's going to be it tonight, right?
I'm already here.
Brett, it's all...
I was here before you, Slacker.
Well, we got this dumbass on, and we're going to talk about AEW versus NXT. Doug's sick. Clint is not around, so it's just going to be the three of us. How's everyone doing tonight?
Good. Not too bad at all.
So you want to get into it, guys, or you got a few plugs to do first, Eric?
Yeah, we'll do some plugs. Listen to Bossman Anthony and what's the name?
Dirt Sheet Dudes.
Listen to Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And listen to them every Friday night at 10 p.m. after SmackDown, that shit show. And every other Saturday at whatever time they do for a Hollywood hangout. And listen to John and Wrestling Reality every week. And listen to us every Friday night too, live, when we do our career retrospective. Right now there's a poll going up on Twitter for the Starcade poll. And the choices are 91, 96, 97, 95, and 2000. And last I checked, 91 was winning. So that's all the plugs right now.
All right, ma'am. You want to get into it?
Yeah. What do you want to...
Let's go ahead and get into it.
Yeah.
All right, AEW versus NXT. Let's... This show's a little bit more relaxed, so we are going to, you know, go through a lot of the hot topics of the week and everything, but we're mainly just here giving our opinions. Getting to your Cody Rhodes theory first, Brett.
Well, not to, I mean, blow the viewers' minds, you know, right out the get-go, but, I mean, I'm starting to see a lot of similarities in the way that AEW is treating their product and the way that they're going about business, in reference to the same way that WCW started doing things, you know, back in the 90s. And it's I don't know. I mean, there's some conspiracy theories that I've, you know, read online, and there's some that I've, you know, pushed off as, you know, just complete, utter bullshit. But there's one that, you know, I've kind of been thinking about, and I know I talked to you, you know, a couple of weeks about it earlier, Dan, and, you know, that pretty much is what stormed this whole, you know, show idea. But, you know, I got to thinking, you know, technically they say that, you know, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash and, you know, Vince Russo were basically WWE's mercenaries to go over to WCW and put them out of business. And I'm really starting to think that, you know, one of these WWE guys that supposedly was pissed off at the company, might be doing the same thing, you know, along those lines. I'm not so much sold on it being Cody Rhodes as much now, but I have a pretty big gut feeling that, you know, this is going to turn into basically another WCW company, which hopefully I really hope that, you know, puts me wrong, because this show is, you know, a fresh, you know, new life to wrestling. I mean, it reaches out to more than just the younger fans that are just now coming into, you know, the business and starting to watch wrestling. You know, AEW is starting to captivate, you know, the attention of the people that, you know, stuck through the business, you know, all through the Attitude Era, the Ruthless Aggression, I mean, all of that. And I don't know, I'm starting to see a lot of similarities with WCW, Dan, and it's really starting to scare me a little bit here.
So,
I'm going to ask
and
you
I do
what,
too.
What?
No, go ahead, Eric.
No, I was going to ask you guys, what similarities do you see? If you want to...
Well, I mean, if you think about it, you know, other than the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, it almost seems like, you know, the person holding the reins of this whole operation is, you know, Tony Khan and Cody Rhodes. And...
Yeah.
Just, I mean... The way that WCW, you know, set themselves on Monday night to go direct in competition with WWE. Now, mind you, you know, NXT is the one that, you know, decided to stick with Wednesdays to start the rivalry this time. But
right.
I feel like Cody Rhodes coming out and smashing the Triple H throne, you know, that. And then the fact that, you know, they're starting to look at business with Bischoff. I mean, whether he's, you know, behind the scenes, you know, in on a lot of it, or if he's just, you know, like a face that's kind of giving them, you know, direction and whatnot, you know, bringing Bischoff in and then, you know, having, you know, similar type gimmicks as far as, like the Inner Circle and the Elite. I see the Elite being a very, very big, almost not as much as yet, but I see the Elite almost becoming like an NWO.
I thought you were going to say the Four Horsemen.
You pretty much bring, yeah, that's a much better comparison now that I think about it. But just like, you know, the Bash at the Beach, I mean, going on TNT Network, I mean, I just, there's so many, you know, things that are screaming WCW to me. And like I said, I really hope it, you know, is something completely opposite and I'm wrong on this, because I mean, they do have a lot of really good talent that they've brung in to AEW, and I don't want to see, you know, stars like Sammy Guevara and, you know, a lot of the big name guys that, you know, AEW is bringing to the table. You know, I don't want to see that pretty much go hand in hand with, you know, what WCW did to destroy their younger talent to put over the high name guys.
Yeah,
yeah.
They do compare Sammy to Eddie. Sorry, Daniel, again. To interrupt.
No, you're good. It's all right. Fuck me. But
you're not really my type. Kind of got the wrong heart.
I'm big enough.
There.
Listen. I agree with some of the WCW comparisons. I mean, you got Tony Schiavone on the call, which no one screams more WCW than Tony Schiavone. You got a heel group.
Yeah.
I'd say the Inner Circle more than the Elite. The Inner Circle gives me a lot more NWO vibes because they're a heel group that beats the shit out of everybody. So
see,
I can see.
I don't know. I have a like the Inner Circle more so reminds me of Evolution. I mean, if you think about it, you know, there's really one big name guy in the Inner Circle, and then the rest is a bunch of up and comers.
Well, yeah, but if you think about the Elite, we're here because of the, it's called All Elite Wrestling. Because these guys started, obviously they're going to be a focus. So the people that complain about that really doesn't make any fucking sense to me. Because these were the guys from the beginning. I knew they were, and they're still losing to top. They're like Private Party just beat the Young Bucks in the tournament. You know, Cody Rhodes lost the world title match. Kenny Omega's been on a losing streak. So the Elite's getting their ass kicked, which I think is a good thing. And I also think the WCW comparisons could be a good thing too. Because let's not forget, boys. Yeah, we know WCW was failure, which a lot of people know, and that's because we all grew up on WWE, really. And that's how they pushed the narrative, which WCW failed, went out of business. Yeah, but they forget that WCW was probably one of the best wrestling products ever. At the time, I put it way over WWE. So to have those comparisons and have similarities to WCW isn't a bad thing. If they start to have similarities to WCW in 2000 or 99, that's when shit's going to get rough. But right now, being like one of the best products to ever happen isn't a bad thing, in my point of view.
And you can learn from your mistakes.
Exactly. The one thing I've noticed that's very much like WCW is every show ends up with a fight. That's something I could do without. I think you can end with a great match. I think a lot of the shows end up with the Inner Circle beating the shit out of everybody, which really brings me back to the NWO. But besides that, I think they've done everything almost perfect, but it's not – it's really good. It's got some ways to go. What do you agree with?
See, I don't know. Like, I feel like rather than try to go their own direction like they had started out with All In and the Buy-In and, you know, basically starting out with, you know, how they were, I feel like once they got that contract with TNT and, you know, that's when we saw Cody smash the chair and the Bash at the Beach gimmick for the, you know, pay-per-view, you know, I feel like once they got the fans in the door, it was almost like, all right, where do we go from here? And now they're kind of panicking already. I mean, they're resorting back to old stuff. That's where I feel the WCW comparison is. Because, I mean, they came in saying, you know, we're going to be something completely different. We're going to be our own entity, our own identity. And then maybe, what, 3 months into the business or the company launching, I mean, we see a Triple H throne get smashed. We see Bash at the Beach. We see Eric Bischoff. I mean,
we haven't seen Eric Bischoff, by the way. I don't know where
Eric
that's coming
Bischoff
from.
Eric Bischoff has been behind the scenes of AEW. Yes, he has been at shows.
Hasn't.
There is. Yes, he has.
He was in WWE when they started, and WWE fired him. He hasn't been seen since. He's got a podcast, but that's about it. AEW
yes,
has nothing
yes.
to do with
he
Eric Bischoff.
He was at one of the AEW pay-per-views, I believe, either Full Gear or All In. One of the two, he was backstage. There was a video of it on YouTube.
I guarantee, yeah, but he's not signed. He's got nothing to do with the creative process.
Well, he doesn't have anything to do with the creative process, but I mean, how long before the weasel that has his foot in the door sticks the rest of them in the door? I mean, look at what he did. I mean, that's similar to what he did with TNA. He started, you know, hanging out with some of the WWE guys backstage, and then next thing you know, him and Hogan are running TNA.
I mean, that would be a misstep, but I think AEW is smarter than that. If you think about every chess move they made, it's been perfect so far. And when it goes to resorting to – people forget that wrestling's been around since, what, 1920s, maybe before that. No idea is original. Every idea has been done before, and WWE has an enormous well to go. They got so much video library. They can take ideas from anywhere. AEW doesn't have that. They don't have WWE to take anything from. So they're going to take stuff from WCW, and I don't mean take like steal, but inspire. You know, so they're going to bring back Bash at the Beach and stuff like that. As long as they don't overdo it, I don't see a problem with it. Because I think there's a lot of great WCW concepts that got buried.
If I'm not mistaken, wasn't the WWE talking about filing a lawsuit over the use of the name Bash at the Beach against AEW? I'm pretty sure.
I heard they're not happy.
Where I heard it. Yeah, I can't remember if I heard that correctly or not, but I'm pretty sure I heard someone saying that, you know, WWE was getting ready to, you know, put a lawsuit in effect for, you know, basically using their own copyright since, you know, he bought the assets.
I don't know what happened behind the scenes. I heard that WWE wasn't happy because technically they do own that title because they bought the whole video library. So technically they do own Bash at the Beach. I don't know if Cody and Tony, like, manipulate. I don't see them stealing it without paying for it. Just because that would be stupid and it would cost some more money in the long run. I don't know how they got away with it, but I heard WWE's not too pleased about it.
Yeah.
That's just what I heard.
I heard
that Vince wasn't going to take legal action yet, but maybe in the future. Depends on how much more they take. Who knows, man?
Exactly.
So, Vince is a petty motherfucker. One of the reasons we're having this show. Because the Wednesday Night Wars was because of him. You know, NXT could have gone on any other night, but he decided Wednesdays.
Right, and like I said, I mean, I feel like WWE more so got you know, a little bit afraid of the competition, considering, you know, Vince is gone and, you know, they don't have, I don't think Triple H has as much confidence in his creative team as, you know, Vince did back in the WCW days. You know, I don't think Triple H, with the PG era and the Me Too movement and all that, you know, happy horseshit that the WWE is trying to go along with nowadays, I don't think, you know, their creative team is, you know, as confident as they could be with their ideas, you know, that AEW doesn't have to worry about.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I think all NXT has right now is those guys put on fucking phenomenal matches. I don't know. I know one of you guys said you didn't see last week, and that's fine. We'll still get into it. But if you watch some NXT shows, the wrestling could be considered better than AEW. And I love AEW. But NXT,
yeah,
they put on some incredible matches over there.
Yeah, I've heard they've done some good matches. I'm going to start watching it this week, so.
Yeah, I think AEW has the better younger talent, period. I mean, I think the reason why you get so much good wrestling out of AEW is because of, you know, the indie scene, you know, that comes, you know, with AEW. I mean, 90% of their wrestlers came from the indies.
Yeah. I agree with that, too. I think young talent, I think both have a surplus of it. And I think AEW is a little more ready now. Because let's not forget, guys, NXT is technically developmental territory. Even though they're making it a big thing now and it's on USA, people go there to learn. You know,
yeah.
The majority of them, want to go to Raw or SmackDown. Except for a few people.
I think NXT started out as a development product. I feel like NXT now has turned more so into Shawn and Triple H, you know, reliving their careers through other people rather than it being a developmental process.
It's definitely more of a third brand now.
Well, I mean,
because you got Finn Balor who's back in NXT.
They had Survivor Series, and Raw and when NXT invaded SmackDown with Raw, I mean, here comes NXT and a freaking military Jeep with Shawn and Hunter, and it's like, okay, here's a flashback to when they invaded Nitro, and it's like, I feel like we're so stuck in the past with how wrestling is, you know, as far as like egos go. I don't think we're going to be able to see, you know, the moving forward of the companies, you know, except for AEW, because they're not branching off of old gimmicks. Like, they're using their young talent, like, I can't remember the one gay dude, Sonny's last name, but Sonny is a really good wrestler. Yes. You know, Sammy Guevara, I honestly think Sammy Guevara is probably one of the best young wrestlers in the business today. He reminds me a lot of like a Dean Malenko mix with like Evan Bourne.
You were saying there?
I mean, same thing with MJF. MJF is a young Chris Jericho, I think.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
I actually agree with both of those. I'm actually very unpopular in my household because I think Sammy Guevara is a superstar.
Oh, yeah.
Especially getting the run from Chris Jericho. Oh, my God. The thing that, first of all, he's a natural heel. MJF has to goat the crowd. If Sammy Guevara can just come out there and people fucking hate him, that's what you want as a heel. And when it comes to in-ring content.
Sammy Guevara's YouTube channel, I mean, he even, you know, has himself portrayed as a heel in, you know, some of those, you know, vlogs that he does. I mean, he had the one vlog video where he had Cody Rhodes basically, you know, calling him a piece of shit and being self-centered because he flipped him off at a charity event that was giving out bicycles to kids.
Go ahead, Eddie.
I was going to say, I think Sammy's a combination of Eddie, Benoit, and Dean.
That's a lot of praise. I think he's really good and has a lot of potential.
they do compare him to Eddie a lot in, on the show, so.
Yeah, because he's Mexican.
Uh-oh.
I don't know about a young Eddie Guerrero. You know, JR said that, and I guess I could see it a little bit in his attitude. But this dude is completely different, and to me, why do that to him? Why put that comparison on him? Because now he's going to have something to live up to for the rest of his career. He doesn't need to be Eddie Guerrero. He's got to be Sammy Guevara.
Exactly. Very good point, Daniel.
That was just my opinion. But the kid's a stud. You know, he's great in the ring. The comedic chemistry that him and Jericho have is hilarious. You know, so some of the skits they fucking do have me dying. Just when they were making fun of Cody's big promo going up to that title match and Cody's not listening to a thing Brandy's saying and he kisses her and then walks away. And then the next week, Jericho and Sammy are doing it and Sammy's asking him what kind of bubbly he wants and he's not listening. And then he goes over and kisses Sammy on the forehead. Those two got funny shit together.
How about the cardboard cutout?
Oh, yeah, the cardboard cutout is fucking phenomenal.
Of those two hugging? That was funny.
Yeah. The amount of pictures I've seen them cropped into since that happened is hilarious.
Yes.
You know, since this first episode, I mean, we are kind of reviewing, but since we're kind of just like establishing like a first notes about everything. How great is Chris Jericho? His body looks like absolute shit, but oh my God, is he still one of the greatest things in wrestling? Everything he does gets over.
Absolutely.
He looks like after he left WWE, he just started drinking all of his Fozzie problems away.
Yeah.
Like, he forget a dad bod. Jericho's now adapted the grandpa bod.
Jericho's got a Doug bod.
I wouldn't go that far.
Speaking of grandpa, I just saw his book on Amazon, so his first book. So.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm about to buy some bubbly. Now that that's officially available.
I actually thought about getting me a bottle.
I gotta try it.
Yeah,
we all should.
That's how I feel. You know, I just want to try it.
A little bit of the bubbly. But anything the dude gets over, all he said was in a grunty voice, a little bit of the bubbly, and it took over the fucking world. You know, there's compilation videos on YouTube, 30 minutes long now, of songs and him going, a little bit of the bubbly, in the middle of the songs. It's fucking nuts. Anything the dude does.
Speaking
go ahead,
of Jericho, another thing that's popped up in the whole WWE, WCW type thing is the lexicon of Le Champion. That, I mean, really, I mean, they basically just brought back the list of Jericho. I mean, he even said, no, this is not the list of Jericho. It is the lexicon of Le Champion. Like, come on. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
And did you see the episode? He is – everyone in AEW acts like WWE doesn't exist, which I think is the right move. But for people with that attitude, oh, my God, do they throw shots at him. Like, remember when Jack Swagger was out there with him and they're chanting, we the people, and Jericho's, we the people was a shitty idea by bad creative. Shut up, that's gone now.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
I'm not going to lie. That kind of, like, you know, really took it to the next level, you know, that we were in the second, you know, wrestling war, so to speak.
Yeah. You know. And Chris Jericho, no one knows WWE like him, so no one can throw jabs like him.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know. Cody destroying that throne was a pretty big jab.
Yeah, that was a pretty big jab.
I mean, I think that was a little bit bigger of a jab than this. I mean, that was basically Cody taking a shot not only at Triple H and not only at the WWE, but, I mean, that basically electrified the whole entire sports entertainment world.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. And that's what's good about AEW is that with WWE, we have sports entertainment. With AEW, we have pro wrestling. Pro wrestling's back. They do have some entertainment factors, but it's a pro wrestling heavy show. How great is it is turning on AEW and you got a match right away? You know, you're not turning on for a 20-minute promo in the ring that you fucking sleep through half of it, like on Monday Night Raw. It's doing a lot of things right.
Yeah. And the NXT did the
so
same
far.
Thing. They start with wrestling too.
Yeah, NXT is doing the same thing. Because NXT, and this is why Vince is a smart guy. Which, I mean, he's a fucking billionaire, so obviously he's a smart guy, even though a lot of people think he's out of touch. NXT's got the hardcore fans. Like Dougie and Eric
yeah.
and me and Brett's starting to get there again, but NXT is for hardcore fans. It always was for. But now the hardcore fans like AEW. So now AEW's on Wednesday night, so now Vince is literally making you choose the hardcore fans, because casual fans watch Raw and SmackDown, and that's fine. You know, it's each their own. But the hardcore fans like these two products only. It's not like they put SmackDown against it, which is completely different. They put two shows that the hardcore fans have to choose over against each other, and it's making them choose.
Honestly, I wouldn't even go to that extent. Like, honestly, I think WWE with the PG era is more so like the younger generation and the younger demographic. I feel like AEW, their whole platform of who they're targeting is the 18 to 30 some year old demographic. You know, basically the people who got forgotten about by the WWE at the end of the Ruthless Aggression and the Attitude Era.
A bit, but
yeah.
I'm talking about the hardcore wrestling fans, like the nerd
fans. Well, I mean,
fans.
That's what I mean, though. Like, I mean, if you think about it, we're never, ever going to see another hardcore match in the history of this business, as far as WWE goes, like the unsanctioned match between Moxley and Omega. You will never see that in WWE ever again.
Oh, no.
But that just, I mean, that goes back to, you know, WWE aligning themselves with so many organizations like the Me Too movement and the anti-bullying campaign that they can't go that route. I mean, think about it. I mean, just
physically
that little
can't.
Stunt that they pulled last. Well, I mean, think about it. Just that little stunt that they pulled with Roman Reigns on SmackDown, dumping the dog food on him. Imagine how much backlash they're going to receive over that.
Yeah. First of all, that was fucking disgusting. And second of all, I agree with you. They're a public company now, and they've been for some time now. They got stocks and trades, and they got a what's it called? A board of the name's
trustees.
Fucking escaping me, but a board
of
directors. So they got a board of directors.
Oh, okay.
They got people besides Vince, suits, if you will, making calls. So it can't get as edgy as it used to be. It'll never be able to. It's a public company.
Exactly.
AEW can do whatever the fuck they want because they're just owned by billionaires and that's it. They're not a public company. So if they want to rip a guy's ear off, they can rip a guy's ear off.
Ooh.
Not saying they should. I'm just saying this. Like,
I mean,
some
that
of the
would
shit
be
that
kind
I'm,
of awesome.
Yeah, some of the shit in that unsanctioned match was fucking crazy. I couldn't even think of that.
Yeah, I know, right?
And me and Brett know hardcore wrestling.
Sorry, I lost my earpiece. I couldn't hear the past, like, 2 minutes.
Sorry, I was just fucking blabbing.
My headphones decided to just randomly cut out on me.
That's who you get for trying to be legitimate.
Oh, hey. You know what they say. You got to be legitimate in one thing.
So did you guys watch AEW at all? Or what have you seen last week?
Yeah,
I actually missed AEW
this week.
You did it?
I watched it.
Brett, you said you didn't get to see it?
No, I missed it this past week.
Okay. So then we'll just kind of keep this episode about more broad than show reviews. It's one of our hosts hasn't seen it, even though he had all fucking week to catch up on it. But what else would you guys want to get into?
Let's talk about wrestling fans in general. Remember
the
next
question.
Yeah. Let's talk about that screenshot I showed you guys. How that guy thinks that AEW doesn't have any talent and doesn't have any big names. So has he not seen Jericho before or Omega or Cody Rhodes before? Those are big names.
Like I said, that was just a Triple H alias account.
Probably.
Wait, no, that's Jordan Miles, right? Is that the motherfucker that just got all that quit WWE over the racist shirt? First of all, this guy is a fucking clown in his own right. So if you want me to rant, I can rip this motherfucker a new asshole. He's an idiot.
Yeah, everybody's
ripping
him.
I think we might get kicked off the air, though. He gets mad at WWE. Jesus Christ, I'm trying to... He gets mad at WWE for making a shirt with a smiley face in it, in his name. And it looks like it's in blackface, apparently, which I didn't see. I didn't get that. But then he goes on Twitter screaming the N-word, yelling, you know, saying how bad he wants to leave WWE. And then they fire him, and then he gets pissed that they fire him. What the fuck?
Man.
Dude's ass cheeks.
Yeah, a lot of people were ripping him on for that. Which... He went on Twitter and went on a rant like, "Oh fuck the fans, fuck everybody, fuck the wrestling. I hate wrestling." Blah blah blah. And are we talking? That's the guy we're talking about. ACH or? Oh, just want to make sure I'm talking about the same guy.
Yeah, we are.
All right.
And his opinion.
Was it you, Daniel, or? Was it you, Daniel, or Doug, that wanted to get into, after we're done this, wanted to get into the guy that sued, told on AEW about the untensioned match?
Oh, that was Doug's rant, but he's the...
I mean, we can get into that, too, so if you have anything to say about that.
I mean, there's an old WCW commentator who is ripping... AEW for the unsanctioned match, right? Or is there more to it?
Yeah, he told the Athletic Commission about it, and they're investigating. And yeah, that's all I know. That's all we know right now. I don't think it's gonna go anywhere, because I think they got approval before they did the match. No.
Well, what people don't know is that the guy used to work with Dusty. And him and Dusty didn't have a good relationship. So now he's trying to sabotage his son. That's pretty much what it is. He just doesn't want them to succeed. So.
Yeah. That's pretty much what Doug said.
Just bitch moaning and groaning.
Yep.
That's all everybody does anymore. It's pretty much what this podcast is.
we bitch about the fans.
Yeah, we bitch about good stuff.
Yeah.
So
in a good way, too, sometimes.
Yeah, in a good way. Brett, you there? All right, well, fuck Brett. Eric, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Who's a better face in the company? Hangman Page for AEW or Adam Cole?
Uh-huh. Ooh.
Ah, that's a tough one. I actually like both.
I'm going to say Adam Cole. He is
I'm going to say Adam Cole. Yeah, I'd have to agree with Adam Cole. Just because
Cole
he's got the back of the plate.
Only because he's a champion right now, and he has, as Brett said, Triple H and Shawn Michaels behind him, and undisputed.
Yeah, undisputed.
Which is probably the best stable right now in wrestling besides Inner Circle. And the Inner Circle just started, so they're not up there with Undisputed yet.
No, not yet, and I think they'll get there. But I think, like Brett said, instead of looking at it as an NWO thing, it really needs Inner Circle needs to be looked at more like an Evolution thing. To where I think Jericho got guys that he knows are going to be big in the future.
Yeah.
And he's molding them right now.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what I mean. Like, if you look at, like, MJF and look at, you know, Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho, I mean, that right there just alone screams, you know, Ric Flair, Triple H, and Orton, and Batista. I mean, they're just, I mean, we got such a comparison as far as how good the young talent is that he's surrounding himself with, and just the whole overall way that the gimmick is developing. I mean, if you take a look at it, MJF and Sammy Guevara are basically Chris Jericho's henchmen, which is exactly how, you know, Triple H used Orton and Batista. He used them two to keep his title around his waist. And I think the only reason that Scorpio Sky hasn't taken it from him already is because of Guevara and MJF.
Yeah. I mean, MJF officially in the Inner Circle?
No.
What was that?
He's not the Inner Circle. Technically, MJF isn't the Inner Circle. They did have a big promo about it, and they hugged, but he hasn't been with the Inner Circle at all, so maybe he's just affiliated, but I don't think he's in it.
I don't know. I'm just the fact that he comes out for the promos, he's, you know, always behind Jericho's ass. I mean, I'd have to say he's more in it than not, just with the way that they, you know, produce him with the stable. I mean, like I said, he's always out there for victory celebrations. Do what?
No, he's not. What are you watching? He's not going out there with him.
He's been out there for a couple of promos.
He came out there for the one promo after he turned on Cody, and he hugged Jericho, and that's it. The Inner Circle has not had him around them since.
He has a bodyguard. What's his name?
Wardlow.
Doesn't he have
the bodyguard?
Yeah, Wardlow. Yeah.
Yeah. I think MJF is pretty much, first of all, if they're smart, they'll have him just do his own thing. I don't think MJF needs the Inner Circle. He's that big enough of a heel. I think he can get heat on his own. He doesn't need Jericho.
See, MJF is basically another EC3.
EC3
style gimmick. You know, that rich, pompous ass that, you know, basically has like that whole money can get me anything kind of mentality.
I can see that. I get a lot of Miz out of him, too. Just with that punchable face and the way he baits the crowd. Miz. I can see a lot of Miz in him. Oh, dude, I just want to slap MJF every time I see him.
The punchable face. That's funny. You just have one of those faces that just requires to be hit.
Oh, yeah. Fuck MJF.
But see, I don't know. Like, I'd have to say the reason why I'd consider MJF more in the stable than not is just because of, you know, the similarities of his persona and the earlier Chris Jericho. That's cocky, smart ass. You know, like, basically when Jericho first stormed onto the scene in WWE from WCW. Now he's, not to boot, but he's sporting a fucking queer ass, you know, fucking, what do you call it, scarf. I mean, it's basically like you combine Le Champion and the List of Jericho and put it together and you got MJF.
Yeah,
I can see that. And I think it's more, listen, I agree with you. If Cody and the Elite are fighting the Inner Circle, I think MJF's going to come out and help the Inner Circle. I think because they're all heels, he'll give them a hand or whatever. I just think, from what I've been told watching every week, that he's not officially a member. Now, he doesn't come out with Jericho. But he wasn't there for the Thanksgiving celebration. He wasn't there. Sammy's been his sidekick. Jericho? So Sammy and Jericho have been attached at the hip. We've seen MJF do his own thing, which I think needs to happen. But when it comes to, like, going against a group of faces, I'm sure MJF will probably help the Inner Circle.
And what's Jack Swagger? He just...
There? The Big Hurt, Jake Hager. He's his bodyguard.
He's the Big Show. He's the Big Show.
He's the Big Show. The Big Hurt. He's Chris Jericho's bodyguard, who doesn't say or do or wrestle matches. He just stands there and looks kind of dumb.
Yeah, look at it.
And I like Jack Swagger.
I do too.
Huh?
MJF has a bodyguard, so MJF has his own bodyguard, and Chris Jericho has his own bodyguard.
Exactly. And I think MJF with a bodyguard looks good because MJF doesn't look very tough. He looks like a pussy. You know, he looks like someone that's going to cheat to get ahead. So I think it's only right he has a big, badass bodyguard to kick other people's ass for him. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, exactly. Put Warlow and Jack Swagger as a tag team.
Oof. I want to see Luchasaurus versus Jack Swagger because they've been teasing it for a while now.
Yeah.
I want to see Luchasaurus. He's next up.
Yeah. He's over
for a dinosaur gimmick. For a dinosaur gimmick, that dude's fucking cool.
Oh yeah, he's awesome. I thought he was gonna get the next title shot, but
yeah, it's weird that it's just. All right, so let's talk about this controversial, what people are really getting into. You probably heard this too, Brett, that the wins and the losses. A lot of people were cool to the concept, but now they're starting to doubt it because wins and losses are supposed to matter. But now, this past week, Chris Jericho's got challenged by Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy has not won a match yet. He's not in the rankings. He hasn't won a match. So does he have a right to challenge him? Or is because wins and losses matter? Or is it pro wrestling, so who gives a shit?
I think it'll end up not being a match.
Huh?
I could see it not being a... I could see it being a no contest. They just beat up on him.
What I'm asking, though, is should it happen?
Honestly, I'm going to say no.
No.
Just based
I thought
off,
it was
going to
be Luca. Just based off. Yours.
Right, go ahead, Brett.
If anything, I think Scorpio Sky should be the one that they should be pushing against Jericho right now, not Jungle Boy. If anything, I could see maybe giving Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus a tag team title push, but at that point, I don't even think we have tag team titles.
Yeah, we do. SCU's the tag champion.
Do what?
SCU's the tag champions.
Oh, that's right, yep.
Christopher Daniels that's and Scorpio right. Sky. Or Kazarian.
Frankie and Scorpio.
Yeah.
And now, who do you think Jericho's next feud is? I think they're teasing Moxley.
See, I feel like that whole promo that he went on the things that he doesn't want for Christmas or whatever it was, and he said Moxley like 57,000 times.
Yeah.
I feel like it was, I don't know, I'm 50-50. Like, I feel like it was more so that, you know, we aren't going to get that, and they were just kind of, like, teasing it to us. But at the same time, I feel like that would be a really good direction for them to go to, you know, quote-unquote, put asses in the seats.
Yeah, I think Mosley's promos have been more towards he was going to be asking for a title shot soon. He's just moving his way up, getting the wins, piling up the wins until he can get that title shot.
You go, huh?
And I'll say it now. I think it's going to happen at Bash next month. That's not a pay-per-view. That's just a Dynamite show, right? Hello?
Yep.
Daniel?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, Daniel. I'm here.
Okay. So we just lost Daniel. I know I had issues where my phone call ended twice, so I think we may have lost him temporarily. I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize you were on hold, so I had to. Hold on.
Yeah, he might be sitting there talking to himself on his phone.
Oh, okay.
Not realizing that he disconnected.
Wait. Wait.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm here. Daniel?
Having some technical difficulties for the first show.
Oh, boy. Oh, he dropped.
I'm not sure what's going on.
He dropped it. His call dropped, so he'll probably call back in.
If he even realizes that he's not on the call.
Here he is. Daniel?
Thank God. Can we hear my angelic voice?
Going AWOL.
Yeah, what happened?
I've been fucking talking to the phone for 30 minutes. I put myself on hold on accident.
Oh, okay.
I was sitting here telling Eric how, I got disconnected from the call twice and had to recall back.
We're getting technical. It's our first show. Fuck it.
No, I think I'm just going to blame Triple H. Everything's his fault. He hears us talking.
Yeah,
shit about
he's
the
trying to stop
this. He's like, I'm putting an end to it.
He knows I'm on Cody's payroll.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's my phone about to blow up. But, what were we talking about?
Honestly, I don't
know. What were we talking?
I don't know what the fuck we were talking about.
Yeah, I just forgot what we were talking about. Shit. We're talking about Jericho or something. Oh, no. We're talking about Moxley, how he should get the next title shot or something.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that's what I wanted to interject before I put myself on hold like a jackass. Moxley, I want to see it. I think everybody wants to see it. But is it too soon? Because that's booking themselves into a corner. You can't have Moxley lose at this point. So when he gets his title match, he's got to win. He's too hot. You can't have him lose to Jericho. So is it too soon to have that match?
They can't. They can do what WWE did with Bray with the Fiend.
Exactly. Book themselves into a corner.
I think it's going to happen to Bash. Is that a pay-per-view or is that this is Dynamite show?
It's just a special episode of Dynamite.
Okay. I think it's going to happen there, but I think there's going to be interference or it's going to be a DQ where they're going to have a rematch at the pay-per-view. So that's how they're going to get themselves out.
See, I don't see them doing that. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Cody Rhodes is no idiot when it comes to the wrestling business. And I don't think Cody Rhodes is willing to give us anything of a pay-per-view match like that for free. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
You know, putting the belt on Moxley, that's going to drive people to tune in, you know, to the pay-per-view to buy tickets. And Cody knows that. I mean, Cody knows what
it's a money match.
The company. Yeah. That's right. I mean, that's exactly what him and Omega was.
Exactly.
Nothing.
But that's why
and, Jericho fight
it's got to wait.
In WWE? I forget if they didn't. They did all that.
As Dean Ambrose, him and Chris Jericho have had a couple matches.
All right.
Nothing too special, but of the both of very
Moxley
different points now.
I think Moxley is going to be the next champion. I think he's going to be the one that takes the title away from Jericho. And some could argue... The first two champions are WWE guys. So, but you're always going to have those people.
they got two choices. Either don't book the match at all, figure a way out of it, or if you book the match, Moxley has to win. No one's gonna accept Moxley getting the match and losing to Jericho. Even if he gets his ass kicked by the Inner Circle. If it's a DQ, people are gonna fucking riot. Especially in a pay-per-view that they're paying money to see.
Yeah.
That could be a serious
misstep.
As I said,
misstep. He can't do the Fiend. He can't do what WWE did.
And it's hard, because when you got a guy so hot like that, you want to put him in the main event picture. But it's got to be a slow burn, and they got to wait and pick their spots. And I do think he should be champion at some point. But maybe if he doesn't need it right now, just wait a little bit. Don't rush into the match if you don't know what to do.
Are they teasing it too much because of his promos where he's kind of teasing it, and then they had to interact, not an interaction, but yeah, Moxley in the stands and then Jericho in the ring a couple times, I think the last 2 weeks, they said.
Moxley's number one on the rankings. So technically, if we're going by these rankings, which what we've been told as fans, we should go by these rankings, even though they change every week. That's who's going to be in line for a title shot. Moxley's number one.
Yeah.
So he should be. Even though I think he should be, but even if I think it's not a great idea, that might be the direction they're heading into.
Yeah. I mean, we don't even know when the next pay-per-view is, so.
I don't know. I kind of feel like the rankings are going to end up being, like, points, and whose line is it anyway? I mean, because, like, like you guys have pointed out, I mean, if they do go ahead and they book, you know, Moxley and Jericho, they're only booking themselves into a corner because, one, where do you go from there? Two, you know, if you kill Moxley too soon, you might not be able to get him back. And I don't mean, like, signing a contract-wise. I mean, like, you know, fans believing in the true, you know, person that Moxley is.
That's a great point.
And they know this because they saw the reaction how the Fiend was reacted and how the fans turned on Rollins. So they can't do the same thing. They're too smart to do that, to do the same thing. They're gonna learn from what WWE didn't do.
And they have to, because fans have been burned by Dean Ambrose, the character, over and over and over again. WWE misused this guy so much. That's why he left. So if he goes to AEW, he's misused again. This could be his last chance. So if he gets misused again, it's gonna fuck a lot over.
I don't know. I'm not 100% in agreement on that. I mean, I agree WWE used him wrong, but I feel like as much as the Dean Ambrose character sucked, he made it good.
He did.
Like, Dean Ambrose put a hell of a lot of good WWE TV on the air. I mean, I see a lot of... it's like, in my eyes, I feel like Moxley is Dean Ambrose, just with the leash taken off.
Turned up. Yeah, turned up.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he is. And that's what's good about it, because now he doesn't have a bunch of suits and corporate guys in his ear. Now he can just be him, and that's why it's fantastic.
Well, I mean, if you take a look at it, I mean, even before he was in WWE, when he truly was first coming out as Jon Moxley, I mean, he was doing all of these death matches and, you know, basically Mick Foley and Terry Funk style matches, you know, just brutalize yourself. And then he comes into WWE, which, you know, like I said, he did a really good job of it, but he comes into an environment that he completely has to change his persona and his way of knowledge around the ring. And I feel like that was a part of his detriment.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
But that's where a lot of guys get flustered in WWE, because WWE has their own style. So we've seen it numerous and numerous times. Shinsuke Nakamura is probably the primest example. You know, some guys can adapt like AJ, but a lot of guys have their own independent great style. And then they go to WWE, and WWE says, no, you got to work this way because this is our way. And that's what fucks them over because they can't do it.
Not only that, but WWE has a notorious streak of just burying amazing talent. I mean, look at, you know, fucking Colt Cabana turning into Scotty Goldman. I mean, the only person that you really can say came from the indies and had a decent streak as far as personality and, you know, career presence was CM Punk.
And Daniel Bryan.
CM Punk and Daniel Bryan,
Yeah.
And they're starting to get there with NXT because that's a lot of independent guys, like Roderick Strong, Gargano, Keith Lee.
The whole Undisputed era came from ROH.
Yeah, so you got a lot of – they're starting to realize it, that these guys are assets. But Brett is right in his point to where WWE figured before, oh, you're an independent star, let's fuck you over. At least it seemed like that. They would take guys that were great on the independents,
It wasn't even like it was, hey, you're an independent guy, let's fuck you over. It was more like that ego of WWE, like, oh, so you independents think you know what it takes to make a fucking superstar. Well, let me show you what I can do with them. And then they fucking just WWE it all to shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, one guy I can name is Cesaro. They haven't used him. He's been a mid-carder ever since he came into the WWE.
That's a perfect example.
Technically, you can look at it at multiple characters from past and present. I mean, look at what they did with Evan Bourne. I mean, they took Matt Sydal and just completely twisted him inside out until his gimmick was nothing. And now, if you look at the true creative genius behind characters, I mean, I think the character Bray Wyatt could have went a hell of a lot further, but they decided to stuff it all in our throats, you know, within a 6-month time frame, and then they had nowhere to go with it. And now we have The Fiend, and it's like, you know, how long are we going to have The Fiend around before it's, you know, stuffed down our throats to the point where it's completely fucking irrelevant?
Do you think he's starting to be stale now, or is it too early? Does he still have that momentum?
I think what WWE needs to do, and honestly, I think the wrestling business needs to do it as a whole, is they need to rebuild the sense of kayfabe. I mean, this whole idea of your fucking superstars being, you know, realistic human beings like Floyd Mayweather and Evander Holyfield and everything. Okay, so if they're a real life fighter, why aren't they in the UFC or in boxing and shit like that? Why are they in a WWE ring? I mean, wrestling has lost its touch to me because of that. I mean, 90% of what drives somebody to pay attention to your product is the story that you're telling. And with the society that we're in today, let's face it, this society is completely dumb. I mean, they can't look at a match like us three can and see the storyline being played out between the superstars and the moves and the high flying or, you know, the ground and pound. And or the submission style, like they can't see it, you know, in the ring. They see all of, you know, the storyline, you know, through those storyline gimmicks. And I mean, how many of us still today, when we're talking about the WWE, still talk about a sense of kayfabe in one way or another? I mean, when you're talking about Kane and Undertaker, you know, do you still talk about Kane and Undertaker as two separate people, or do you talk about the Brothers of Destruction? I mean, there's so many different things that, you know, wrestling has lost through the years. But I think the one thing that AEW could capitalize on, and I see them starting out, you know, a little bit more than WWE is bringing back kayfabe and that gimmick, you know, I'm not talking like the gobbledygooker style gimmick, but, you know, bring back gimmick. And, you know, you see that with like Luchasaurus, and, you know, Luchasaurus is the prime example that a gimmick can work. I mean, if you think about it, Luchasaurus 10 years ago would be a gimmick that was laughed at nowadays.
Yeah.
But now that we've been stripped of kayfabe by the WWE and we've been exposed to the behind-the-scenes stuff, I think that, you know, we're so sick of the same old shit that we are, you know, willing to believe stuff like, you know, he's a half-human, half-dinosaur, or Undertaker's an undead mortician. You know, like, just to have a sense of, you know, something to believe in.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think that's what AEW is capitalizing on to draw in fans. I mean,
yep.
Jungle Boy, for example. I mean, what the fuck is that? Bare Necessities or some shit?
I'm to that point, I don't think AEW is going full force with that, because they've talked about being very sport-centric. They're a sporty type thing. I think that that's what WWE needs to do to survive. Because WWE is not known for the greatest wrestling on earth. Even in the past, Hulk Hogan wasn't a fucking five-star technician. They need to go back to well with the storylines.
Well, yeah. And I mean, anybody that shows up in the WWE ring and actually shows to have any sort of sense of ring presence and actually knows how to wrestle, they push them out, and they, you know, they don't do anything with them, or they don't utilize them correctly. Perfect example, CM Punk. They basically oust CM Punk, obviously it was more than just storyline. It was personal, I mean, with him getting fired on his wedding day. But, I mean, they oust, you know, him, Colt Cabana, you name it. I mean, hell, Luke Harper, for example, who was just recently released. He was a fine wrestler. I mean, I've seen him wrestle in the indies, and he's the only 6'5" dude that I know that can fucking high fly and actually make it look fucking good. I'm sorry, but Kane cannot. That little top rope fucking clothesline he used to do. I'm even saying back then, like, honestly, it just looked like fucking some fat tall dude fell off the top rope. Like, it didn't even look like he jumped. Like, it sort of looked like a fucking gust of wind came and knocked him off. WWE has, they continue to do it over and over and over again. And it's like, how many times are you going to do this until you're out of business?
Exactly.
They need to really get gimmicks back. And not even just gimmicks, but good storylines. How the fuck is showering a guy in dog food because you call him the big dog going to sell any tickets? How is that going to get people to watch next week? We know I know Vince McMahon thinks we're all fucking stupid, but we know Roman Reigns isn't actually a dog just because you call him the big dog. I've seen him. He looks very human.
That's the thing. It's not even Vince. I mean, if you remember, I know Vince still has some control, but a good portion of control Vince has let go. But he still does have a little bit of control. So, I mean, you can't put it all on Vince, even though this has Cliff and Vince written all over it.
At the end of
Bruce,
the day,
the main guy, the main editor.
Bruce does write SmackDown. But at the end of the day, like I said, they do have board of directors. They do have a lot of people to answer to. But the last opinion anyone will tell you, the last guy it goes to before it hits that ring is Vince McMahon. So if Vince thinks it's a bad idea, he says no. If he thinks it's a good idea, he says yes. He does have control. Like he does have to listen to other people now, but the last word will always be Vince McMahon. And that dog food segment smelled like Vince McMahon. I can just see him in the back going, ha-ha, that's good shit, pal.
Yeah.
It had him all over it.
It doesn't work in 2019. Maybe it,
no, it doesn't work
in 95.
I don't even think
it
would
work that
time.
Either. No.
Yeah.
It's fucking stupid. He's calling guy the big dog.
That was like a Vince Russo-style move.
It was. It makes too much sense because, like, a 3-year-old can think of it. Oh, we can call this guy the big dog. Let's shower him in dog food. Like, how much fucking...
Yeah, like
these are the creative geniuses.
That's the people that are drawing in millions.
Yeah, these guys make over six figures a year to think of this fucking bullshit. I'm starting to sound like Doug. I've been hanging out with him too much, but it does get ridiculous. And I think that's why I like AEW so much, because they do stupid shit too. Like that Liberian character is fucking one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
The Dark Order's dumb.
What do you think of the Brandy thing? Or is it wait and see where it goes?
I think the Brandy thing could be good.
Yeah.
It depends how they do
it. Who is the new girl?
Huh?
Is that a wrestler?
That's Chris Statlander. The fan? I don't know who she is. The one they shaved her head?
I'm assuming she's a wrestler. From the indies.
She probably is, you know. It was planned. She obviously just wasn't a fan. You can tell it was planned.
Exactly.
But
it's pretty cool.
It could be cool.
It's only 1 week, so we'll wait and see. We'll see in the month where it goes.
I think Awesome Kong is going to end up being your next women's champion. I think that's just
she has to be.
Or she's going to. Either that or Brandy, and Awesome Kong's going to kill her opponent for her. But one of those two is going to be the next one.
I don't see it being Brandy, but I definitely see Awesome Kong. I mean, think about it. She was a dominant force in TNA, and then she comes to WWE, is set to have a push, and then she gets fired because she gets knocked up, and now she's in TNA, and she's got Brandy as a manager. I mean, she's...
AEW.
Yeah, sorry.
And her TNA episode was last night. But yeah, I agree with you. And you guys know the women's champion, right, Riho?
Yeah.
Have you seen any of Riho's work?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Have you seen any of the women's champion work, Riho?
No. That I can honestly say I have not.
Well, she's this little 90-pound... I'm a fan of her, too. She's this little 90-pound Japanese woman, and she's fucking incredible. She's so small, she looks like a child, but she kicks ass. I think the perfect storyline would be... because she beat Nyla Rose. She's beating these bigger people. And then she goes up against Awesome Kong, and that's just one person she can't beat. Because Awesome Kong probably eats her for breakfast. And I think that's the way they're going to go with it.
It would probably be a squash match, to be honest. Sadly.
I don't know if it would be a squash. I think Riho would put up a good fight because she's been booked pretty strong.
Yeah, she has to fight
with. But someone that's shown and portrayed as such a dominant force like Awesome Kong has been, though, I mean, can you really afford to give her a good match like that right now? I mean, because think about it. She and Brandy are only a couple of weeks into this whole, like, I don't even know what kind of movement to call it, but they just had somebody, you know, not too long ago, you know, pledge to become a part of their society, which this is starting to reek of the straight edge society just with women. But,
yeah, he does have the same thing.
Like, I don't see them giving us that match right now because, you know, they're still establishing Awesome Kong as the monster that she's supposed to be.
Exactly.
And I meant to say eventually, but I agree with you. I think this is another thing that's got a slow burn. Let them go through the rest of the division first and then give her the title. She doesn't need it right now. I think we can all be in agreement to that. Give it some time.
It's similar to Moxley.
It's similar to Moxley, and it's pretty much the whole company. Except for, I think the tag titles, that tag team division has really made me believe in tag team wrestling again. And I think any tag team in that division, maybe minus a few, could win those titles at any time, and that's awesome. As far as your world champion and your women's champion, Build the rest of the division. Let Riho stay the champion. Let Jericho stay the champion. Because Jericho's a good guy to carry the brand right now. So let him do that. Let the rest of your talent, at least 6 months, let your talent develop. And then you choose the right guy after everyone's really developed and they're used to being on TV every week. They're used to being superstars. And then let someone take the baton from Jericho. But if he's giving you the best work he's ever, well, close to the best work he's ever done, let him keep doing it for now. Until you got someone that's worthy.
Yeah.
Just my point of view.
What I think they should do is let Jericho carry the company right now as a developed name that he is. And,
right.
I mean, he has an amazing protege in Sammy Guevara. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a Sammy Guevara fan. But, I mean,
you're right.
How good would it be to see a fresh face lead a company? And not even a fresh face in the aspect of, like, a green guy. Because, I mean, Sammy Guevara has held, you know, many titles for many different companies. I mean, and many recognizable companies, too, may I add. I mean, he's no slouch. He's got a lot of respect from a lot of people. And
yeah.
I feel like either dropping the belt from Jericho, you know, to, like, a screw job where Sammy screws him over, and, you know, that starts a rivalry. Or, you know, someone like MJF, you know, someone like a younger, you know, homegrown indie talent like that.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to, you know, you're going to have that, you know, two-way side sort of view. You know, it's not just a place where, you know, the old people come and take the title. But, you know, you can be you can be an indie guy and come into this company and, you know, take over like these guys.
Agree. Now, I have a question.
Yes.
Do you think you could create a title, like a mid-card title, not a mid, but a secondary title to give to Moxley before he becomes the world champion? Could they do it that way?
A mid-card title?
Maybe more like the IWGP
Intercontinental or United States or a TV title, so to speak.
Yeah. Give him a title, but not the world title right away.
See, I feel like AEW is going to go in the direction of like a 24/7 type championship. Just because, you know, there's been, at least from, you know, certain talks that I've seen on screen between superstars, that something like that's going to come just from them talking, you know, like not everything is certain for, you know, this amount of time and stuff. I'm kind of getting that kind of vibe from them. But at the same time, I feel like they need to stay away from something like that because of how over exhausted the WWE has made that sort of championship. I would like to
I hope it's more of a TV
back.
Title.
Well, because AEW is, you know, they allow their superstars to go to other promotions and wrestle, you know, like, you know, New Japan and, you know, a lot of these, you know, AAA and shit like that, they allow them to go wrestle there. So I would like to see them bring back like a European type championship, you know, that can be defended, you know, against, you know, other people and other promotions and stuff, sort of like an NWA championship, so to speak.
Yeah.
Like the Euro, you call it the Euro championship.
I think maybe wait on it. Like, I know I keep saying this for a lot of things, but they need to take their time. We have three belts, three divisions. The women's division, the tag division, and the singles division that we're all invested in. I don't think there's need to throw in another belt right now. Maybe wait till your next big pay-per-view, like Double or Nothing next year or something. But a big card title, I don't know if it's needed right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. Have they even announced what the next pay-per-view is? Because there's one in February, right? Because I know they're going to do one quarterly each season.
Yeah, they haven't announced the name yet. But the big three, well, they're going to do big four quarterly pay-per-views. Double or Nothing, All Out, Full Gear, and then whatever this one
is. Fight for the Fallen?
No, they're not doing that. That was just free shows. They're going to have another actual pay-per-view.
Yeah, that was just a special.
Gotcha. Sort of like how, like, Salute or Tribute to the Troops is, or something like that kind of thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
So,
do you want to talk a little bit NXT? Sorry.
Yeah, we've been going hard on AEW, so.
Yeah.
Who are some guys at NXT that you guys are thinking are going to be stars someday?
Keith Lee.
As far as stars go, I'm just going to go out on a leap here and say I'm going to say not many, just based off of the fact of people like, you know, Kevin Owens that are coming in, you know, bigger developed names that are going to come in and basically, you know, take over, you know, the championships and shit like that. And if it's not that, you know, then Ciampa burying everybody.
What's in that? I mean, you brought back Finn Balor. So.
I really like Finn Balor, but I think the WWE is using him wrong, like they do everybody else.
Yeah, I love Finn Balor.
They touched on it when he was still Bray Wyatt and everything, but I would really like to see a Demon versus the Fiend.
Yeah.
Like, and not just one match. I mean, like, an actual, like, rivalry between the two, because the Fiend brought out the best in Bray Wyatt, and the Demon brings out the best in Finn Balor. And to see those two go head-to-head, I think that would be much better to see than the Fiend versus Undertaker or Bray Wyatt versus the Undertaker.
Yep.
I can agree with that. Pete Dunne. I think Pete Dunne is fucking awesome. I just watched that match, the opening match with him and Killian Dane. He reminds me of a William Regal, but I think he could be so much more. The way he breaks your fingers in the ring and his psychology, I can see him doing big things if they allow him to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like the comparison that you did there to William Regal. That actually, I never really thought about that until you actually just said that. Just that overwhelming ring technician. We haven't seen one of those in a long time.
And that's it.
Yeah.
But to that note, those don't really make it big in WWE. So it's going to be a grind
for him.
Well,
I mean, Regal was never really big in WWE either. But he's a household name. Everybody knows him.
He's a legend for what he's done, but you're right. He was never a rock or anything.
Right.
Yeah, he never had a main event push.
But see, that's the thing.
No.
Like, you got to have those kind of people. You got to have your ring technicians like William Regal to keep the product going for your superstars like The Rock and Stone Cold or Cody Rhodes and Chris Jericho. You know, like, for every good promo, there needs to be a damn good match. And I don't mean, like, a hardcore smash each other with titles match. I mean, like, an actual good wrestling match. Like, almost, like, pretty much like old cruiserweight-style matches. Like, the Eddie Guerrero versus RVD, or Shelton Benjamin and RVD. You know, like, Rey Mysterio and Paul London, those kind of guys. Like, guys that can go and fly around the ring and kick ass.
Yeah, you're right. And AEW has a surplus of them.
And that's what drives wrestling, though. Like, that high action, you know, fast-paced, high momentum style wrestling.
I agree with that.
I agree. So I think NXT's got a surplus of that too. But to that level, you need those stars. Maybe not as much anymore, but I think, and that's what AEW is doing better than NXT, is developing stars that you're going to want to pay money to see in the future. Like, WWE failed with Roman Reigns. I like Roman Reigns, but the majority of people do not want to see him at every main event. And that's fine. But they can't make stars like they used to, like The Rock and Steve Austin. The last big star was John Cena. So now this is both companies' challenge. They have to make what, like, a star. They're getting close with Becky Lynch because people fucking love her. But you need a face of the company. And I think both of them are still struggling. I mean, Cody kind of, but he's more like the brains. Like, he might be the face on the billboards, but he's not the face, if that makes sense. I think they're still looking for that in a younger guy. Because Jericho can't be. He's the veteran to help everybody.
I think it could be MJF.
I don't know. Maybe. It could be a heel.
So we're doing the full 2 hours then, right? Or are we doing just another 8 minutes on this?
Because
I have an idea that I'd like to close out on the show on.
You can say your idea now, because I just want to go to 8:30 if that's cool tonight.
That's fine. That's fine with me. So as a weekly idea, based off of the product up to this point, I'd like to do a weekly look into what would be the best thing that they've got going for them and the thing that you think would be their downfall at the current week. So basically, like, what's the best thing that AEW's done? What's the worst thing that AEW has going for them? What is the best thing WWE is doing? You know, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I like that idea. And then we can add our ratings and all that, too. Stuff I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, both of those ideas sound good to me. We can
tonight
definitely
was just more of an
like
intro.
That.
Tonight was more of an intro talking point.
All
right. Right.
So what do you guys think as far as WWE and AEW goes? What do you guys think, you know, the best and the worst is for these two so far?
I haven't watched NXT a lot, so I can't really talk NXT. Maybe Daniel can, but I can say AEW.
Go ahead, Eric, then I'll get into it.
Okay. The thing I like about AEW is that the promos and how they don't force everything down your throat, and the matches. And then it just feels different. It feels different. Wrestling feels different watching AEW.
Because that's a legitimate point. I'd say for AEW, the best thing they have going for it is their roster. I think they have a young, talented roster. They got good ideas, and they're pushing them the right ways so far. I think the worst thing that they do is... You keep telling me that we don't care about WWE, but you do. You know, I can see it. You know, I'm watching it. I can see that everything's a jab nowadays. You know, we were talking about it earlier. I think if they're really going to be successful, truly worry about yourself and just don't watch it. Just stay disconnected from WWE. And don't give a fuck, because if you focus too much on what they're doing, you're going to fuck up. I think that's where they could screw themselves over.
And vice versa, too. It's for both companies.
Yeah, but WWE's big enough to where it can make mistakes.
Yeah.
You got to think, if AEW, this is all AEW has. You know, WWE got three shows.
Yeah, well, not only that, but AEW has been an established company for decades. AEW's been around for months. So, I mean, WWE can afford to have that, you know, one mistake that has, you know, 20,000 people shut off the TV. If AEW has 20,000 people shut off the TV, that just wiped out probably maybe a tenth of their viewers.
And even to that point, if we talk about the conclusion of the Wednesday Night Wars, which I think is going to go on for a while, if NXT gets its ass kicked for a year from now on, they can put NXT back on the network and they can just say, oh, well, we tried. If AEW really loses in the ratings and doesn't do well, it doesn't sell merchandise, they're going out of business. So it's two very different scenarios to where AEW's got everything to lose and WWE has pretty much nothing to lose except maybe a certain demographic. So AEW's really got to focus on themselves.
Right now. Well, WWE doesn't have anything to lose right now because it's too early yet. I mean, we haven't – I mean, if you want to compare this as, you know, the next, you know, Monday Night Wars technically just on Wednesday night, I mean, if you take a look at how long it took WCW to actually start winning the ratings wars, I mean, they didn't come out and just, you know, take over the fucking ratings like AEW did. So, I mean, AEW is, you know, already in a better spot than WCW was. At this point, it's just how far can you carry this momentum?
Yeah. And there's something about being the underdog, which they are, that really makes you want to root for them. Because Vince was very smart during the WCW thing. Because Vince positioned himself as the underdog. He's like, these big, bad billionaires, they want to put us out of business. And that's how he motivated the talent. Now he's the big, bad billionaire, you know? So he's in completely different shoes. Vince isn't the underdog anymore. He's on Fox. So we'll see how he takes that and how he's going to motivate the troops, so to speak. But this next couple of years in wrestling are going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's why I'm glad we started this show, because not only is it also – it's one of the best times to be a wrestling fan right now, especially in the past 10 years, because we haven't had a whole lot to be excited about, if we're being honest. You know, TNA was good for a while, but
it was just WWE and TNA and ROH for a moment.
Yeah, but three people watch fucking ROH. You know, I mean, those people that go on their computers and really try to find ROH. But it's not like it's really
ROH
than
TNA.
Yeah.
I used to be one of those people.
I liked the product. But ROH, they're too small scale to where WWE plucked away all their people. AEW's got money, so you can't really take people away yet.
I just hope, you know, I just hope the reputation of what the Jacksonville Jaguars are isn't going to affect AEW.
If I see Nick Foles on Dynamite, I'm turning the fucking channel. I'll tell you that much.
Hey.
He's a fucking traitor.
Well, y'all want to
All right, guys.
So.
Fuck Wentz, too. Fuck all.
Wait. I have one more question for you guys.
Okay.
9 inches.
Do you think... do you think Luke Harper goes to AEW?
Yes.
Do we see him in AEW in 2 to 3 months?
I don't see him going. I don't see him going right away. I don't see Luke Harper going right away.
Maybe 6 months.
He might not be able to.
I see him. I see him. So I. Well, not only that, but I more so see him going
back to, you know, Western New York and Central New York and, you know, re-getting in his Brody Lee persona and reestablishing himself in the independents and then making his run in AEW as his independent gimmick rather than, you know, Luke Harper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting healthy. He had to get healthy, too, because he came off an injury.
Yeah.
And I also I don't know if they do it with releases, but I know WWE has a no-compete policy to where you got to wait several months before you're on national TV. So he might not be able to just go right away. It's not like in the olden days where... Yeah. It's not like when you see Lex Luger on Raw and then see him on Nitro. Like, you could... you might not be able to see him because of a policy in his contract.
Contract, yeah. Well, Rick Rude going to appear on both shows one night. Yeah. There you go. We talked about that at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck you guys just said because it came out at the same time.
We're mentioning Rick Rude.
Jesus Christ, that's funny. Brett. You guys are synchronized.
Oh, you know what they say. Great minds think alike.
Yeah,
that's true. That's why I'm not thinking.
Get with the program, Dan.
You don't have your partner. You don't have your partner in crime tonight,
Doug. Maybe we need a three-part harmony.
Doug adds to that harmony is, what the fuck?
I'm really hoping Doug is listening and heard my whole conspiracy theory. I was hoping to plant the seed in his head and get him going.
I really wanted him on tonight so he could tear you a new one. Or so you guys could tear each other a new one. Yeah, he's sleeping now. He isn't so good out there. But, all right, guys, I think this was a good first show. I think this is a nice building block for the weeks to come. I'm excited to see what we have for the upcoming weeks. And this has been the Wednesday Night Wars. I'm Dan.
I'm Brett.
And Scripted Wrestling, yep.
And that's Eric. thanks for tuning in. Thanks again, guys.
Yeah, see you next week at 6 o'clock, right?
Yep, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Later.
Peace out.
Bye. Peace. Thank you.